Hour number three, off and rolling on this Wednesday. Welcome in on 104.5 The Zone. So happy to have you along for the ride. Lot going on today. A lot of people that we've heard from. You'll hear from Titans head coach Mike Vrabel, who spoke earlier today on three specific things. Will Compton of Bussin' with the Boys will be here in about 15 minutes, and we'll talk about his co-host's struggles over the weekend. We'll also talk about what it's like to game plan for Russell Wilson, because Will, for as much hell as I give him, was spectacular. Talking about not that Will. I don't care about that Will. Get that Will out of my face. But Will Bowling, who popped. It's like a whack-a-mole. You see him just pop his head across the plexiglass, and he's just going to whack him, send him back into the shadows, like I do with Lucas when he talks too much. 615-737-1045 is the number. 615-737-1045. Speaking of news, breaking news out of Cleveland, for those of you who were foolish enough to draft Odell Beckham Jr. onto your fantasy teams, he has been ruled out against the Houston Texans, so something to keep in mind as well. But as for the Titans, we're going to talk about Taylor Lewan specifically here. Now, Mike Vrabel just wrapped up his press conference, and he was asked about this specifically because Taylor is going to be on the rebound. I put out that play that went viral yesterday and a bit into today of Buda Baker basically punking him, going to an inside, going straight at Taylor Lewan when it looks like Taylor Lewan thinks he's going to the outside. Taylor tries to overcorrect. Buda Baker catches him off balance, gets bulldozed by a tiny little safety. It's not great. Buda Baker's a great player. And it is a game of leverage. Just a low man wins, right? And Buda Baker is decidedly lower than Taylor Lewan. But it was still shocking to see a 300-plus pound left tackle leave his feet at the hands of a safety. Anyway, Mike Vrabel was asked about this today, and this was his response.
Well, I mean, you get beat, and sometimes, that happens, And so, we have to improve. Taylor has to improve. We've said this before in this league, your best players, they have to play good on Sunday for you to win. That's how this game is set up. And, that didn't happen for us. It happened for Arizona yesterday. And so we have to get those guys ready to go to get on the road. It won't get any easier. We'll go out to Seattle. So we'll have to get going here pretty quickly, make these corrections, flush it, and be ready to get focused on Wednesday, with a game plan and a way to go out and try to find a way to win.
Mike Vrabel talking about his left tackle and the struggles on Sunday. He didn't look ready. And I don't think that he went out there thinking that he was not ready, talking about Taylor Lewan. But he did not look as ready as he thought that he was, right? Now, whether you choose to have some grace about this is entirely up to you. I'm still getting tagged, or things that I'm tweeting about are still having Taylor Lewan tagged in them because people are pissed. People are understandably furious about what happened on Sunday and the fact that today it was announced that Chandler Jones, for his performance and his accolades against the Tennessee Titans, is named the NFC Defensive Player of the Week. Mostly at the expense of Taylor Lewan. Not exclusively, because everybody got the business. Getting the lamb included. And the strip sack, by the way, neither of the strip sacks were on Taylor Lewan, although that's no justification for his performance. He just didn't look ready out there. And that's something that we will see progress, one would imagine, as he gains trust in his knee, as he gains trust in his technique. ACLs are routine, and Bud Dupree doesn't look to be struggling terribly. I thought Bud Dupree looked pretty good laterally, as far as mobility and agility are concerned. I thought Bud Dupree looked competent out there. And his was more recent than Taylor Lewan's. But as you talk about this and as you look at the tape on this, you will see somebody who doesn't necessarily trust what he's out there to do, trust himself physically. And after a couple of times of getting that exposed early, you saw the snowball effect that it had. 615-737-1045 is how you jump in on the conversation. And then there's the kicker. So Lucas, if we could update the polls quickly, at least one in particular, because the Titans have a new kicker. His name is Randy Bullock. He is lovingly referred to on the internet as Fat Randy. So we just simply put it to a no-context poll. Fat Randy, question mark, yes or no?
Okay.
What are the results?
It's 50-50.
Oh, good.
It's a dead split. That's amazing.
You can't write
four on the fence.
Oh, it's perfect. On the fence. Fat Randy on the fence.
Not what I don't know what I expected, but it wasn't that.
It's perfect. We could not have planned that better. All right, let's
also, just on that note, we asked what do the Titans need to improve on most before the Seahawks game, and still 50 minutes to go, but well over 600 votes. Kicking was one option. 0% of voters have chosen kicking.
It's a fraction of 1% because I saw it went from 1% down to zero.
Okay.
But, you know, people are numb to it. I mean, hell, listen to Mike Vrabel. Doesn't he sound numb to the kicking situation? Earlier at the podium today, he was asked about, you know, the performance of the kicker and Sam Ficken and now through Michael Badgley and now Randy Bullock, and this was the Titans head coach.
Every time we go out there to kick, I hope they do their job, Jim, no matter who it is, whether it's Brett Kern, whether it's Randy, or the 53 other kickers that we've had here in the 3 years that I've been here.
Doesn't he sound numb to it, too?
He's done.
Oh, my God. He's as over it as all of us are. What's he going to do? Yeah, I expect him to make their damn kicks.
Does he need to spend the first round pick on a kicker next season?
Yeah, okay, and then be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Or what was the Aguayo kid a second round pick?
And that did not work out. Mr.
No.
Perfect.
No, and now they so instead they took the Titans kicker and now they're Super Bowl
champions.
That
worked
out. Oh, God. I just think all of it is so funny. It's not funny because it continues to spiral out of control, the kicking situation. Again, 11 damn kickers since the start of the 2019 season. It is unreal. And by the way, Ryan Santoso got cut yesterday by the Panthers. So if you want him, he's back out there, back available on the market. What I will say to you, though, is it seems like more and more every day, or how should I phrase this? There is not a sense that Steven Gostkowski will be back. That seems to be the vibe that is emanating out of the Titans kicking situation right now. It does not seem like Steven Gostkowski, whether he's an option or not, he may well be an option and not be one that they land on. It ultimately just does not seem like it's trending that direction, as is evidenced by the fact that Fat Randy is now your kicker. And Fat Randy is not that fat, so as somebody who is sensitive about their weight right now and is getting ready to be joined by a guest who's going to harass me about my weight.
Yeah, you're lashing out. You're lashing out.
I am lashing out. I'm sensitive. God, if my nickname was Fat Buck, can you imagine? Fat Randy.
I hope Compton's not listening, because if you utter that in front of him, you're done.
Well, I sent him a picture of what the Raiders, did you see the Raiders press box donut spread last night that Steve Wyche of the NFL Network tweeted out?
Yes, my God.
I sent that to Will. I said, they're clearly just trying to sabotage us. It's not just that I don't have any self-control when I'm sitting in a press box for 16 hours and watching one football game and eating out of boredom. It's the fact that they're just trying. This is the NFL's plan to get rid of the media. They're just going to give us all diabetes in the media lounge and get rid of us that way. 615-737-1045. Josh is in Nashville. He wants to talk about the kicker. What's up, Josh?
Yeah, guys, hey, good afternoon. Just a little idea. What if we go over to the soccer club and over there, maybe strike a trade or something to get us a good kicker? Might be a good option for us.
You know, the fact that it's even asked, and thank you for the call, Josh, it speaks to the desperation of the situation. That's the
high school football coach strategy. Just go ask the soccer coach.
My high school football coach did do that, and it worked out very well.
It works out for a lot of coaches.
Harry Hatfield, he was too lazy for soccer, so they sent him to the football team and said, hey, bud, all you got to do is make your kicks. Go get him, Tiger. What a great name, Harry Hatfield, the kicker. 615-737-1045. Coming up next, Will Compton, one half of Bussin' with the Boys. We will talk to him about his co-host's performance on Sunday. We will also talk to him about game planning for Russell Wilson, because he has done it at several points in his career. All that and more coming up next. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone. Welcome back. 104.5 The Zone. Buck Rising here with you. It's Wednesday. It's game week. A game was played at Nissan Stadium on Sunday. We're going to talk about it with Will Compton of Bussin' with the Boys. New episode out now. Jeffrey Simmons, Big Jeff, is the guest on this week's episode. Subscribe, rate, and review. New episodes come out every Wednesday. The YouTube edition of Bussin' with the Boys debuts on Wednesday at 6 p.m. each week. Hello, William.
Buck, how are you doing, man?
Good afternoon. I'm well. I'm glowing in radioactive material from what I experienced at Nissan Stadium on Sunday, but I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
Yeah, Sunday was a long one.
So let's walk the audience through this from your perspective, because the Bussin' tailgate looks like a rousing success. My girlfriend went to her first Titans game only after attending the Bussin' with the Boys tailgate.
What'd you think?
She showed up hammered, so I'm not sure what she thought, but I'm glad that a good time was had by all. I went down to say hi to her at halftime, and she reeked of vodka and lemonade. So God knows what went on at Acme prior to the game. But so then the game begins, and you know the game goes the way that it does, and the Titans struggle mightily, and Chandler Jones is now the NFC's Defensive Player of the Week. And the bus is now a talking point in week one of the NFL season because your co-host had a bit of a time out there. What has your experience been like dealing with that? Because you've been active in fighting off the trolls on the internet.
Yeah, I had to take my talents. I had to look out for my family in the best interest of the victory lattes, and I had to move it to the Raiders for a week. But yeah, it was tough, man. You know, listen, and as far as the Bussin' stuff goes, you know you have a good brand when it gets used for likes, retweets. It's such an easy play. And, you know, it's like it sucks at the same time, but also our brand is what it is. And everybody wants to use it because when they see that the boy gives up a sack or he plays bad, that's such an immediate go-to because, you know, he does both things.
No, it's fair. And I know that you went ahead and used the line anyway. It's okay. I don't want public credit, but I'm going to take it for myself anyway. Talking about the bottom feeders who came after.
Yes. So, yeah, day of the game, like, dude, it's highly emotional. Listen, at the end of the day, boys, the boys lost. The standings say 0-1. We lost in a bad fashion. It looked bad. Everybody can twist and be like, here's all the glaring spots. You can go and do Buck Rising's polls that he does every day where he's like, well, what do we got to do? What are we going to do to get better? But at the end of the day, the boys are 0-1. And, you know, if you look back in history, they would start off 2-4 before they played the Chiefs before a bye week. Everybody was ready to quit then. Everybody was giving up them. Everybody was packing up their bags.
I thought they were dead.
Everyone was figuring out, oh, what's New Year's plans? What are we doing after the season's over? This, that, the other. The boys going to Terre, go 9-7, go to the AFC Championship. It's one game. And yeah, there's a lot of stuff to fix it, but I've been in the locker room. I know it's going to be nothing but accountability and optimism going into week two and trying to find a way to fix it.
We talked to Mike Vrabel earlier today. He gave a press conference, and we'll talk about that here in just a second. But Andy has called in. He wants to talk about Taylor Lewan, and why don't we do that since Will Compton's on the show? What's up, Andy?
What's going on, Buck? You're the best sports tweeter on the web. I wanted to thank Mrs. Lewan for coming on to defend him. It's absurd. Take the heat. When you got the guy who talks so much mess, he shows up to sign his contract, dressed like Boss Hog, talks a lot of grief, and it's enjoyable. At the end of the day, not trusting the knee, not believing in this. I'm sure you can believe and trust in the check that shows up. Let's perform. Let's quit talking about, and by the way, that Chiefs game, that was when Patrick Mahomes came back a game too early from an injury, so let's not put too much good on it. Good luck with that bus, Chief.
Andy, with some heat.
He doesn't get to stay on the phone?
Well, no, Lucas drops them pretty quickly because he gets scared.
I didn't drop them. You dropped them.
I didn't do that.
Then he hung up. He was scared.
Again, this is nothing other than somebody tweeting me. This is nothing other than somebody going in my Twitter mentions, continuing to be a bottom feeder, and saying something easy. Like, you know,
this is the problem, because I'm gonna articulate this from both sides, okay? Because that's what I do. I talk for a living. I articulate. Let's look at this from all angles, okay? Taylor Lewan and the Titans collectively, all right? Wasn't just Taylor. Taylor's just the most noticeable because Taylor's one of the biggest personalities Taylor carries himself the way that he does, and that does not translate well when you play a bad game because all of the heat is going to come for you, whether you have a podcast or not. All well and good. On the other side, in that same clip that everybody is highlighting, it's not just Taylor. It's the entirety of the offensive line. It's getting walked back into Ryan Tannehill's face. Taylor is just Taylor is among the easiest targets on the field. Everybody listening to this understands that they didn't play well. Will has just articulated this from the player's side. You're going to flush this down the drain. You're going to move on to the game plan against Seattle, and you're going to try and take what Kyler Murray did to you and try to make sure that Russell Wilson can't do it to you. That's basically the entire summary of what the last 4 days of Twitter interaction and phone calls and DMs and God knows what other poisonous stuff that's been infiltrating all of our timelines over the last 72 hours. Did I do that well?
You did. Hey, you did. You did a very good job of that.
All right. Thank you.
And, you know, it's all the same, like press conference answers and everything else. Like at the end of the day, the boys have a new week. Everyone gets to wake up. The mantra, like every day you come to work, you're going to come in the facility. It's going to be all about controlling your attitude and your effort when you come to work. Accountability. The boys are going to have optimism. They're going to have accountability. If not, you're going to dwell. When you dwell, you know, you can't look at the big picture because you want to be stuck in your own photo, making excuses and everything else. So at the end of the day, the boys got to be accountable. They got to have optimism. They got to bring that BDE this week at practice, and they got to bounce back. It's a get back on track week, dude.
Noted Raider Will Compton with us here on 104.5 The Zone, Bussing with the Boys, podcast out, subscribe, rate, and review. Jeffrey Simmons is this week's guest. Now, it's important to note that Jeff was taped before this game, so there will not be post-game reaction with Jeff Simmons. For those of you who are going and seeking accountability, at least current event accountability on the podcast, that is not available to you just yet, but I'm sure it will be discussed at a later date. So with Russell Wilson, have you played Russell Wilson in your career, either with Washington or I don't think Tennessee played him while you were here.
Yeah, I did at Washington. I don't want to give myself credit. I don't want to brag too much, but I have an interception out there on Russell Wilson.
Oh, Lucas, quickly rack him. Love to see it. Will Compton, noted interceptor of Russell Wilson passes, here with us to dissect his game with great importance. Yeah, that was real.
No, I don't like to brag.
Go ahead and pick that name that you just dropped up off the ground.
Yeah, I know, right? I know. No, dude, the stadium's awesome to play in. They got the 12 man. It's a cool atmosphere. Seattle, I mean, the whole NFC, what is it, the NFC West?
Undefeated this weekend.
Everybody's undefeated, yeah. So it'll be fun to watch, man. Russell Wilson is a stud. You're going to have to get off the field on third down, similar to just like Murray, although he's not as quick and everything else as Murray. The dude is... You know, he's got a brain like Peyton Manning, and he's got feet close to Murray. So they'll have their hands full with him on third down, but, you know, the boys will have their work cut out for him.
Yeah, so I guess kind of you outlined some of it there, but I know you haven't played Kyler Murray and you've played Russell Wilson. What kind of sets them apart, though, as players? Because I think people kind of lump them into the same category, and that's not something necessarily they should be doing.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what category that is. That the category of being a scrambling QB?
Just like a mobile. I think they're just generalized as mobile running quarterbacks when that's not Russell Wilson's game entirely.
Yeah, I mean, to be in the category with Russell Wilson, I think Murray's got a ways to go before you can categorize him with Russell. I mean, he does it year in and year out. He's always an MVP candidate. He can get himself out of trouble. He can run. He can obviously throw the ball really well. They'll have to, you know, do some things up top with Lockett, DK Metcalf. I'm not very familiar with how their defense performed this past weekend, but Seattle, they've always been a good football team.
Yeah, no, they played the Colts this weekend and they played well. They sacked Carson Wentz 4 times. They looked a lot better than they have in recent years because that side of the ball has been down for them since they broke apart the Legion of Boom after the Super Bowl runs. But yeah, I think that the Russell Wilson situation, I watched that game on replay because obviously I didn't get the opportunity to watch it live. The Titans played their game earlier in the afternoon and we were in press conferences, so I watched it on Game Pass. And the more that I think about this matchup, it's so hard for me to imagine that there's a quarterback that can have a better game than Kyler Murray did on Sunday. And I don't think it was because of what the defense was doing to allow him to have such a good game. I thought the defense, honestly, early, held up pretty well in what their strategy was. He's just a freakish athlete, and the way that he juked the defense out of their souls three different times before he launched a pass to Rondale Moore on 3rd and 10 for 18 yards. Like, there are only so many things you can do against a playmaking quarterback like that, and that's, again, the challenge that they have this week.
100%. Like you said it well, the defense was playing decent. I mean, it's just tough when Kyler's back there running around and buying time. You can't cover for 10 seconds at a time. And then, you know, also it's all complimentary football. Like, the one time they got a bad situation because they recovered the ball at the goal line, and they almost had a phenomenal goal line stand, but Kyler Murray makes a play with his feet, throws it up to D-Hop there in the end zone, and D-Hop's one of the best in the league. But yeah, man, it's tough to judge. It's tough to give too much an opinion on the defense right now, just because of what Kyler Murray was doing and how much time he was buying and the plays that they were making on third down and making the play last longer.
All right, let's talk about the podcast that you did with Big Jeff this week, because he's a fascination for Titans fans. He's somebody who there are sky-high expectations for, and he's one of the most honest people that we get the opportunity to talk to. He's been a guest on this show. We've had, obviously, many, many press conferences with Big Jeff throughout the course of his career. And I thought the interview that you guys did with him, he's not scared to say things in a way that a lot of guys in his position might be, you know, and he's not necessarily slow to warm up the way that somebody like AJ Brown was the first time that you guys had him on the podcast. What was the experience like with Big Jeff, and what were you kind of trying to learn about him as an interview subject?
Yeah, I thought a great thing that the Titans had did recently, their media team, shout out their media team and PR team for that little mini docuseries that they did on Jeff and AJ Brown out of Mississippi. Cause I didn't know a whole lot about Jeff. The only thing I knew about Jeff was being in the locker room with him last year. But outside of that, Jason Hatcher, who his uncle is, who I played with in Washington. So I had familiarity with him through Jason, through Uncle Hatch, as I like to call him. But other than that, I didn't know a whole lot about, like, Mississippi State, his upbringing and stuff like that. And I thought they did a lot of good things of painting the picture for us of who Jeff Simmons is on that mini docuseries, because the way he is in the locker room, we got to jab at him for his sensitivity at times, how his family said he was like a crybaby growing up. So we got to just have a lot of fun with him there. And then everybody in our locker room, any locker room you're at, the boys are always joking on each other about stuff, whether it's photos, old photos. You gotta keep stuff close to the vest, and you can't let too much get out there, because the boys will drag you in the locker room. And so when you had the photo, Jeff's known for dragging guys in the locker room. So when you had the photo of him as a young buck with that suit on, that the blonde hair, yes, on the top of his head looked like a kettlebell. Like, he just has fun, man. He didn't take stuff too seriously. We've had a rapport with him throughout the last year. He bothered us. He was on us heavy about getting him a Spooktober shirt last year. And he's always badgered me about getting on the bus. So he finally got a shot. And he didn't shy away from the lights.
Am I keeping pace with him as far as YouTube? Well, I guess we won't know until the YouTube episode comes out the night of Bussing with the Boys.
So far with Raj, I just knew you were looking. I know you're looking. I know you're kind of measuring it up, because you want to have some respect. I can respect that.
Listen, it's like people tweeting you that you're washed, and then you do a one-handed pull up and you say, absolutely not washed. People have been sleeping on you since day one. People have been sleeping on us, William. We cannot tolerate this disrespect.
It's tough, man. When you're out there and you talk a lot, like, people just want to sleep on you, man. It's tough when people want to see you and drag you down to the depths of the ocean that badly that they go to whatever, they reach for whatever they can to try to kill your vibe, and they just can't do it.
All right, so let's talk about this in more detail, because I know this kind of lot. It's been a long time since I've been in a locker room as, like, a player. Obviously, since high school was the last time that I had any kind of athletic ability. But I know the kind of – everybody can relate to the kind of vibe that you're talking about, where your buddies in the locker room are absolutely dragging. I'm not sure what Blas just said to make you laugh, but I'm going to find Blas.
I think we're all just kind of thinking about the softball game, so.
Yeah, no, the softball game was not a great display of athletic ability. Much easier to do when you're on the defensive line and you don't have to do anything that's more athletic than running into somebody in front of you. Anyway, with the locker room dynamic, what's the worst burn that somebody got you on that you felt like that you had to, like, talk yourself down from? Like, who got you too good one time and it stuck with you after the fact? Because I know this exists. It's happened to all of us, where it goes just a hair too far and you feel it for maybe a day after, a couple hours after, and it doesn't necessarily feel as congenial as most of your locker room talk would.
Yeah, you know, I think to get to the point, like growing up with the teeth that I had and getting badgered for my voice and everything like that growing up, like you got to go through some vulnerable, sensitive times as a young buck to like get to where you're like, okay, everything's just not that serious. But I would say being in the NFL, probably the one time where I sat on the plane, I was just like, damn, I'm down bad right now. The kid's down bad. Was definitely when you think you have a good fit going on the plane. There was walking on the plane, everybody's like, oh, that man come. He just went to Joseph A. Bank and asked for what was on the mannequin. And everyone's just trashing me to the back of the plane. And I remember like, you know, kind of laughing and stuff. And I sit down, I'm like, damn, I really thought I did look good too. So that's probably a time that you know, I always remember.
That happened to me on Sunday. I thought I had a nice outfit picked out, and then somebody tweeted me, said I look like a revival tent preacher, and I couldn't unsee it.
I'm telling you. Hey, that's why I'll just go – that's why I'll do some reaches with the fits that I do have, because I know they can be fun and stuff like that. I'm just like, hey, you kind of just not have to care, because if you do care, you're going to get your feelings hurt at some point.
This reminds me of a text exchange that we had earlier in the week about feelings, but one that we will not rehash here. Will Compton of Bussin' with the Boys here with us on 104.5 The Zone, his weekly appearance presented by All-American Pest Control. Plans as low as $39. Visit yuckbugs.com. Subscribe, rate, review, resubscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. Make sure you're checking out the content that the boys are producing on a weekly basis. And remember, it's just a podcast. It doesn't mean anything on the football field. All of you relax. Thanks, buddy.
Right. Hey, Buck, my man, keep your sanity. The boys are just 0-1. Don't let these boys drag you down like that.
No, it's not dragging me down. You know how easy my job was on Monday? There's nothing wrong with a little disaster every once in a while. Well, I didn't have to go until he froze up, so that's perfect timing. Let's get out of here. He had a good point he was ready to make, and the internet has betrayed him. We'll come back. We'll do polls up next. All right, let's wrap it up. Fun day. Lucas has since put out a screenshot of Will Compton freezing in the final minutes of last segment. What was the question that you asked?
What was he trying to say? He had a point to make.
He did. What have we? Is that? Are we lumping that in with the polls?
No, I said tune in next week to find out.
The rare week-long radio tease.
God. Yes, in 7 days.
God, what will we be talking about in 7 days? God knows.
Guess we'll find out Sunday.
An 0-2 Titans team, it feels like. But, you know, I mean, they have surprised. That Kansas City game is a great example, because that was as shocking an outcome. Now, it took every ounce of strength that they had in the Kansas City game, the regular season game. In the 2019 season, where they were kind of teetering on the edge, because that was, Will said it was 2-4. They were further along in the season than 2-4. If I recall correctly, because that was coming off of the loss in week 9 to Carolina. That Chiefs game, if I remember correctly, was week 10. So they lost the game at Carolina, and they figured out the offense, it felt like, in the second half. Then, you know, Kansas City was the tipping point, right? This was the lose and go home scenario that early in the season for them. And they had the blocked field goal by Josh Kalu. They had the fumble that was caused by David Long that was recovered for a touchdown by Rashawn Evans. The last time that was there was glowing praise from Titans fans about Rashawn Evans, it feels like. And Mahomes, coming off a bad knee, still played lights out. Like, he was great. He was zipping, you know, he was zipping jump passes off one leg to who's the Georgia receiver that they have? Mecole Hardman, zipping him down the field to Mecole Hardman for 75 yards on a bum leg, and like still out there making plays. Now, they beat the Chiefs in that game. And so to say that they are not capable of beating Seattle is an overstatement. I think that they are capable. It's a question as to whether they're too talented to look that bad. It's like the Browns in, I think, also 2019. Where the Browns had all that hype around them. They opened with the Titans in Cleveland. They got their skulls caved in. And Delanie Walker had the quote, they are who we thought they were, yada, yada, yada. You still got to play football and all that. That's what I thought of the Titans on Sunday. When I was watching that team, it reminded me of the 2019 Cleveland Browns. And so, you know, the result we will have time to see and we'll dissect it. Greg Cosell and myself, by the way, we're going to tape the install later this afternoon. That will be available in your podcast feeds by 6 p.m. Central Time, so you can understand on a deeper level what went wrong for the Titans, what the Cardinals were doing to exploit them, and how they match up against the Seattle Seahawks based on that result. Polls.
I don't know who you are, but I know what it's time for. A poll update on the Buck Rising Show. Here's a young man with a very particular set of skills. With the final numbers, here's Buck Rising Show correspondent and producer, Lucas Panseca.
By the way, Spencer gives us an 8-2 today.
I thought we had a good show.
Good show.
I think it was a good show. Subscribe, rate, review, The Buck Rising Show.
Who should be the next head coach at USC? Flannel Fred says, at Lucas Panseca. Thanks, Flannel Fred. I don't want that job, though. Karen O'Keefe says, Urban Meyer. Goody says, can we all just hope it's Urban Meyer so Jacksonville can continue to suffer? Probably suffer either way.
Yeah, they're going to suck either way. It's not going to be a pleasant conversation.
Smashvillian says, there's only one hero who can bring them back to greatness. It's a great gif of Jeff Fisher running out onto the field.
USC, before, Jeff Fisher?
Yeah, running out onto the field before a Titans game.
You know, I was... Kevin.
He played there, right?
Did he?
Yeah, I think he played at USC.
That sounds
right. Defensive back.
I thought he was a linebacker. Either way.
Yeah, he did. He played
okay.
at USC.
Very good.
Hib says Jeremy Pruitt. Tim Chadwick has the gif of Butch Jones with laying the bricks.
I hate all of you.
Mark says Urban Meyer. Let's see. Ryan says Kiffin, just to see how Ole Miss fans would react.
I mean, Lane would never.
I hadn't even thought about that. I mean, that's not going
to
happen.
Well, were you not listening to the show when I talked about in literally the first segment, Lane Kiffin?
I guess not.
Thank you.
Houston says Bill O'Brien. And Kieran says, I'd take Urban just for the laugh.
Now, here's what I'll say, because Bill O'Brien is Alabama's offensive coordinator this year. I don't know how much, I'm sure people haven't forgotten that, but like that, I love that Alabama's just coaching rehab. Like Doug Marrone is down there as the offensive line coach. Bill O'Brien is the offensive coordinator. Like
that's insane.
That they just get all these guys out of the NFL and then they send them back out to get better jobs.
Two NFL head coaches as assistants is insane.
Well, who's the defensive coordinator?
Pete Golding. He's kind of come up under Nick Saban for a while. They struggled a little bit last year, but this defense is really coming into its own this year.
I don't think that those are the only two. Now, the only two head coaches on that staff, but I don't think that – I'm certain that's not the only former NFL coach on that staff between
yeah,
those two.
You lose count.
But, yeah. So, I think Bill O'Brien will rehab his career in Alabama and the next year be the head coach of the Trojans.
What do the Titans need to improve on most before the Seahawks game? Pass rush, offensive chemistry, pass protection, or kicking? 700 votes here. 53 say pass pro. 42% say offensive chemistry. 3% pass rush, which was actually pretty solid. You know, Kyler Murray just running all over the place. 2% say kicking.
The offensive line has to be better. Whether it's in pass protection, whether it's in run blocking, the offensive line has to be better. And then second to that, I think that's 1A, but 1B... Todd Downing has to be better. That play calling in the early going, they figured it out as the game wore on with, you know, once they started feeding A.J. Brown and getting Derrick Henry involved in more realistic situations when the passing game was more of a threat, then they looked competent. But in the first quarter and much of the second, they did not look any kind of cohesive.
Owen George says, we need Will Compton. He's a great locker room guy. He'll definitely help with all aspects.
What's he say? He says this every time he comes on. They're a Will Compton away from the Super Bowl.
Right.
But he doesn't even want you today. He says he's a Raider today.
That's right. That's right. And majority of replies here just say all the above, which is obviously the correct answer.
That's correct.
Last poll, Fat Randy. Final verdict, 52% say yes.
Yes, Fat Randy. 50. So we had an upset in our favor. Fat Randy. Who Ramon Foster, I didn't know that Randy Bullock, who is now the Titans' 11th kicker in the last 3 years, Ramon Foster texted me and said, that Fat Randy thing didn't start in Pittsburgh, LOL. We just called him Randy. So I don't know who got, I'm pretty sure it was Big Cat from Barstool started the Fat Randy thing.
People were very hesitant to even vote on that poll because we went from 700 votes on what do the Titans need to improve most to 91 on the Fat Randy poll.
You know, I respect, well, one.
People just scrolled right by it.
There is zero context to that, and I understand. But those are the ones that are most fun for me.
Those are the polls?
All right, very good. That's going to do it for us today. If you missed any of our content, The Buck Rising Show in your favorite podcast app. It's available to you. The install will be taped this afternoon. Bradley McDougald, who I expect to be the Titans starting safety alongside Kevin Byard on Sunday in Seattle, former Seahawk himself. He will join us on the radio show at 11:15, and we'll talk about that at great length. We will also spend some time on the Vols ahead of Tennessee Tech with Adam Sparks of the Knoxville News Sentinel. So you want to make sure that you're getting involved with all of that. I will say to you that as we move forward here, the situation for the Titans and the Vols, I think, is eerily similar. I am so interested to see what the next 2 weeks, well, really 3 weeks, because of what Florida is going to bring and what the Colts have on the doorstep. I don't want to start doing look-ahead games for either of these teams, but there are things that the Titans and the Colts have both together, the opportunity to get some things right ahead of games that matter infinitely more than the two that they will be playing this weekend. I'm not saying that you should dismiss the Seahawks because the Colts and the Texans and the Jags are all playing that same NFC West schedule. I do not expect them to fare very well against the NFC West, no more than I expect the Titans to fare against the NFC West. But it'll be interesting to see what they are able to build upon, because at least in the case of the Vols, the foundation is there. And for the Titans, based on last week, you got to blow everything up and start it over again. We'll talk about it more tomorrow. In fact, the conversation will continue because Blaine and Mickey, they're up next.